The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. The Law, the Prophets, and the New Agreement. Also, a touch from Power Jesus and a fish on a mission from God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. And for some of you, living is a challenge. Politics, entertainment, and current events. I got nothing. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. I know that phone is scary. You look at that phone, you go, but you know what? It's only 10 numbers and you can do it for a pizza. Therefore, if you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can do it again. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation if you want to talk about something. Keep in mind, it's not professional radio. I think for 7 weeks and 2 shows, I've made that very clear. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, I'm rebelling against social media today. Now, when you say I'm rebelling against social media, what does that mean? Well, it means that I'm not doing any recording. I'm not recording the show. You're thinking, why not? I had enough. I need a break. You know, if you go on to the internet and you just read this and that, and then you read all the little snippets and Twitter and YouTube. By the way, what a name, Twitter. It's like somebody from England thought, I know what we'll do. We'll make everybody in America goofy by having them use a phrase Twitter. Anyway, if you want to send an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, that you can do. Other than that, I got nothing because I'm not giving you anything because it doesn't matter. This is the show. And if the Lord will bless this show and reach out to you and touch you with it, then all and some. And you put them together, all and some, and you get awesome. Or as my wife said the other day when she came in, awesome sauce. Which, you know, somebody ought to really come up with awesome sauce. It has to be something more than barbecue. What do you think? I mean, what's an Wonder Julie, what is your favorite sauce for food? Like, if you have a food, what is your favorite sauce? I mean, do you like barbecue? No. Is there a certain salad dressing? What kind of is your favorite of all of them?
I like me a good jalapeno ranch.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Do you do that on salad?
Yes.
Do you do that on like poppers and stuff like that?
Yes.
And a whole bunch of stuff like that. Good for you. You know, we got into a kick for a little while, my wife and I, on peanut sauce. And we would do egg rolls and we would cook them in the oven and we pull them out and then we dip them in our own little spicy peanut sauce. It was so good.
Sounds like you need to revisit.
Yes. You know, I mentioned, you know, we'll get to the business stuff later. So yesterday I mentioned that I had a choice. I was either going to go to the gym or I was going to go and do bad.
Jack in the Box.
Right. I did good. I went to the gym.
Good.
I did. I did 4 miles of cardio. On the treadmill. The first 2 miles looked very, very impressive. The second 2 miles looked very, very not impressive. Okay? the third mile, when you're running. Anyway, so when you're jogging and the third mile, you need the arms on the treadmill and the head part on the treadmill to stand up. You know that? Remember long ago they had the image is everything with tennis player? The image is everything. I can't remember his name. Andre Agassi or something like that. Image is everything. Well, if image was everything, my image has been shattered to the moon. I have not only have no pride, I am leading the parade in absolutely self-humiliation. I'm just sitting there holding on to that thing, watching my legs go boop, 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 boop. Got to the last mile, thought I would make it look good, so I walked it. But, of course, I dropped the speed, just acting like I'm going the same speed, but the speed on the treadmill was much lower.
Well, it was better than nothing. You did better than I did.
Well, I did do better than going to Jack in the Box. I'm going to give you that one. However, since my wife is not working today, she's at home, I am going to not go to the gym, but go to either Jack in the Box or get a lousy pizza. This is like the day to do this. This is the day I can only do. And she told me I need to start eating better and stop eating chocolates and brownies and ice cream and all the stuff that I like to eat. See, I have a really tough time. I have this theory, and my theory is I know I am going to most likely die before the Lord returns. Now, I know everybody's like, oh, he's coming back in an hour. Okay, well, if he's coming back in an hour, he needs to make it 54 minutes so I don't have to do traffic. Okay. But anyway, if he doesn't come back in an hour, that's drive-through traffic. But if he doesn't come back in an hour and he tarries and he comes back in 50 years, then I'm going to pass away before that process takes place. I understand some people are thinking, no, no, it's going to happen right away. The 7-year tribulation is going to start right away. We're going to get called up and everything's going to happen right away. But if it doesn't happen, have to still navigate through my life. So I can either eat really healthy food and try to extend my life, or just eat decently without abusing one way or another, or just completely abuse. Now, you know the answer is not to go to the left or right. You need to go in the balance. You need to be in the middle. Remember, the kid was who had the demon was going into the fire and the water. You need to be in the middle. We understand that. So I get that. But I have a message for you you're going to hate. The scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You can eat as much salad as the bunny that you have set aside for your kid, and you're not going to live 1 second longer than God's designated time. That's how it goes. You can eat 5 trillion brownies, and you're not going to live 1 second shorter or longer than your designated time. You will be responsible for that time. So, you know, it's not implausible that the Lord would say, well, you could have ate less brownies. No, I'm just saying. But eating like a rabbit or eating like you live at Farrell's, that's not going to change your life. Do you really believe that? Creator of the universe gives life. It is appointed unto man once to die. The word appointed in the Greek means appointment. Uh-oh. You can't possibly think the Lord's going, I don't know when he's going to die. Who knows? Because then God wouldn't be omniscient. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Boy, Dave, you're getting into theology right away. How did you mix brownies? Right? Jack of the Box?
And I say cows were put on earth to eat. Have you ever seen a wild cow? No.
I mean, let me add into that. All of the earth was given to man as a gift. Okay? I mean, this is just something people don't understand. And it is quite possible, even though people don't like to think this, that the animals might have been actually able to talk before sin entered. We don't know. It certainly seems like the snake, we talked about yesterday, the snake was talking to Adam and Eve. We know that the donkey rebuked the false prophet. We know that. I mean, that happened. Here's the real thing. The real thing is people are out there trying to save the earth. Okay? Well, guess what? The earth has been saved. The full redemption hasn't taken place. That we see when there's a new heavens and a new earth. All the other things on the earth, though, were given to us as a gift from God. We're supposed to take care of them. By take care of, that doesn't mean that we become some kind of being that doesn't participate on the planet. Most people may not recognize this, but Adam and Eve, when they first found out they were naked, they sewed fig leaves. Boy, talk about skimpy. They sewed fig leaves to cover themselves. God is the one that gave them leather clothing. The skins of animals. God was the one who did that. But we're supposed to take care of the animals. God did. He ripped it up one side, ripped it up the other, shined it up, put it on them. That's how he did it. And you are right. I don't think that cows are to be worshipped. I think they're to be greatly appreciated with Worcestershire sauce and other barbecue sauces and other fine ingredients like that. Listen, you can get upset all you want. Well, that wasn't the original intent. God said, you know, we're supposed to just eat from the trees and so on. So apparently you've never read Acts where Peter is there and God says, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Oh, no, I can't kill and eat. That's against the law. Don't call common or uncommon what I've called common. In other words, there's a release from that same impression that you had in the Old Testament. Then again, we're still talking about ceremonial law and civil law and moral law, but God gives a complete freedom. If it's received with thanksgiving, no problem. Guess what? Every time I eat a steak, I am thankful. First of all, I'm thank, then I eat it, and I'm full, so now I'm thankful. Get it? And I consider it a gift from God, and I give thanks for it. If you don't want to eat meat, don't. Somebody, I actually had this conversation with a relative. Well, I won't eat meat. I'm vegan. I'm like, one, you will never put one of those tofu hot dogs on my barbecue. And two, just stay that way. It gives me more choices in the butcher shop because you're that way. I have more to choose from and less to compete with. How did we get on this topic? Oh, my gosh. We're going to actually get into specific scripture. I just don't know when that's going to be. We're going to do everything different today because today is different day. I'm leaning Jack in the Box, by the way. I'm leaning that way, Jack in the Box, because I was thinking pizza or Jack in the Box. The thing about pizza is I can get that on the weekend. That just seems like a weekend food, pizza. Whereas Jack in the Box, disgusting and wrong, that seems like a now food. Do it now. Plus, I have to get gas, and the Jack in the Box is right by the gas station. And, you know, then I can also, you know, get a brownie.
Hey, where's the beef?
Well, there you go. Although, I'm not sure it's beef that's in the taco in Jack in the Box. I'm not going to get down that argument. I did live in Flagstaff where the Purina mill was. Oh, sorry. Purina, forget it. You know, they owned Jack in the Box. Never mind. We'll just move on and into the next subject. What we're going to do is take our break. We're going to come back, and we're actually going to talk about Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, as bizarre as that is. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Thanks a lot for all the blessing that you give me.
Wow, what a roof!
It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey! You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio. Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me.
Doesn't he know there's a lot of cholesterol in lard? I'm losing it here. What? The lard? What is that guy? Where is he from?
The David Spoon Experience.
Real estate. It's a bear out there. You don't want to list your home for too little, and you don't want to buy a home for too much. You need the just right solution. You may be wondering what your house is worth and who can give you the service you deserve. If you're looking for a partner in your home sale, a person who will treat you and your home like family, then get in touch with Pam. There's a great deal of blood, sweat, and tears that went into your home. You should work with someone who understands and appreciates that. You should work with Pam. To call and talk to her is free. To have a consultation is free. To gain a partner in this venture is precious. Don't delay. Call Pam today. 817-505-5541. Or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
This is an agent with some real common sense and zeal. She has a great attitude while also being very nice and friendly. Pamela has a great amount of experience and education, but more than that, she's just real.
Pam Melchione, 817-505-5541. Or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's what I said, Texas. Just make sure you hear that, Texas. I think Dallas is playing tonight. The Stars, I hope they are. I'm planning on them playing, so I hope they're playing. I hope they're playing. I think they're playing St. Louis. I hope they win. Dallas, win, win, win. We need to win. Because the last game was bad. Really bad, 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 bad. Okay, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. I can talk. All right, here you go. Here's your question. We didn't get this answered the other day. We'll give it one more shot. We want people to have the opportunity to answer Bible questions. Make sure they're staying sharp in the scripture. Ready? Name one of two. You can name them both, but name one of two men who never died in the Bible. One of two men who never died in the Bible. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Name one of two men who never died in the Bible. It's two of them. Here's the only hint on the one of two men. Ready? It's not a woman. I got to clear my throat. Is that okay? Thank you. You're not supposed to do stuff like that on live radio. Oh, well. There's a lot of things you're not supposed to do on live radio. Trust me. They've mentioned them to me. What do we got? Do we have a phone thing? Oh, she's got the little ringer. Right? Ready? Ready? Listen. It goes ring, ring. Forget. Ring. Domino's. Oh, sorry. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Who do we have?
I guess you got to talk about Elijah today, so he's one of the two, and the other was Enoch.
Oh, you are on target. You got both of them. That's both of them. Good job, my friend. Good job. So Enoch, now everybody knows Elijah. My theory on Enoch is, now tell me what you think of this. He went out. His wife said, go paint the barn. He went out to paint the barn. He's out painting the barn. The Lord goes, that's enough. No more separation. Brings him up. And then she's out there going, Enoch, Enoch. And he's gone. What do you think?
I mean, the barn wasn't finished, right?
The barn wasn't finished. Exactly. That's see, my theory. I never put it in Holy Writ, but it is funny.
Yeah.
Well, excellent okay. job,
and,
my friend.
Elijah was taken in a chariot of fire.
Yep, you got it. That too. He came up in the whirlwind. It was the chariots of fire that circled. So that's okay. That's all right. Good job, though, my friend. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. Good job. See, you got that taken care of right away. All right. Let's get into the teaching on Elijah. He's the one that we're going to talk about. Here we go. This is Matthew 17:1. As where we're starting, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up to a high mountain. As the men watched, Jesus's appearance changed so that like his face shone like the sun. Boy, can you imagine? You're looking at somebody and their face just goes, bee! You can't even look at it, right? And his clothing became dazzling white. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter blurted out, Lord, this is wonderful. If you want me to, I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But even as he said it, a bright cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son. I am fully pleased with him. Listen to him. And the disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Love this story. So many reasons to love this story. Let's talk about this. Hey, Dave. Yes. Will I know people in heaven? Well, here's a good example of an answer. There were no pictures of Elijah or Moses like a Kodak picture. Okay? They didn't have Snapchat and all the other stuff back then, right? Yet, at the moment when the manifestation comes, where Moses and Elijah are there together with Jesus, amazingly, Peter knows exactly who it is. Now, unless Moses came with a big plaque that said on the top of his head, howdy, I'm Moses, it's an amazing get that Peter knew that was Moses. How did he know? See, now that is a great play. See, that is so funny. And I was going to say Mo, too. That's why that's even funnier. So how did he know it was, Elijah? Well, everybody knew what Elijah looked like. How? They didn't. Somebody, he sat down and somebody did a sketch. It's like, that's what you're going to have to come up with. Regardless to where your theology is in that, I find that fascinating that Peter instantly knew, hey, it's Moses and Elijah. Didn't even say, hey, who's that? Just like, it's Moses and Elijah. But let's talk about a couple of things that happened in the process. Jesus' appearance changed so much that his face shone like the sun. When was the last time you were able to look straight in the sun and just look at it? Bad for the eyes, right? Bad, right? How bright and how close that they were on the mountain, and Jesus' face shone like the sun. His clothing became dazzling white. I mean, if you are not a sci-fi fan and you at all, which is okay, but you could see where the sci-fi – this isn't science fiction, but it's amazing. 2,000 years ago, it's like, wait, it's like energy just like popping right there. It's like, wow, it's unbelievable. But here's the thing that's coolest. Moses, what does he represent? What does Mo represent? You know, he just did that great play on Mo. That was very funny, by the way. Moses represents the law. What does Elijah represent? What does Elijah represent? I know you're saying it in your car right now as you're listening to me. Elijah represents the prophets. He was the first of the power prophets, right? Moses did miracles, of course, but Elijah was like, wow, Elijah coming on the scene. It was wild. And what do we see throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament? Scriptures that make reference to the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets. Both Old and New Testament. Moses was for the representing the law, though he was really there. Elijah representing the prophets, though he's really there. What happened? Moses and Elijah are there. The cloud descends. The voice says, this is my beloved son with whom I am fully pleased. Same statement at Jesus' baptism, by the way. But there's an add-on. Listen to him is added onto the statement. Here's one of the great moments of theology for all believers to understand. You know how it was Mo? You know how it was Elijah? You know how it was the law? You know how it was the prophets? Well, now it's Jesus. He takes priority. Listen to him. And people are like, well, you know, the Old Testament is exactly the same as the New Testament. No, it's not. There's this major, major difference. One's called old and one's called new. Okay? Nobody needs to be a rocket scientist to figure out an old car is different than a new car. You don't have to be a genius. And here's what he says. Yeah, you had Mo all the way. Yeah. You had Elijah all the way. You had the law and the prophets. But listen to him, referring to Jesus. This is my beloved son. I am fully pleased with him, identifying because he said that before at Jesus' baptism. Listen to him, making the priority of the new covenant established at that moment. It was established. People are like, well, it wasn't really established until Jesus died and grew. Nope, nope, right here. No question about it. Jesus takes precedent over the law and prophets right here. Well, he still had to die. Yeah, all of it had to be fulfilled. Nobody's arguing that point. But God is specific. Here's Moses. Here's Elijah. Here's Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Period. Amazing. Amazing. And I want you to think about that because we make a lot of there's a teaching I'm going to try and do probably about Friday-ish talking about the advantage of reading and knowing the Old Testament. There's no question. But do not misunderstand. The new covenant is the – get it? New covenant. It's new. It's the new one. There's the old one and the new one. The old one was messy, not because of God, but because we couldn't keep it. The new one is kept for us by God through Christ. That's the only reason it can maintain. That's the only reason it can be fulfilled. And so when we get back, we're going to talk about a few other little quirky things in there, because that is certainly not the last quirky thing. But remember, when it comes to understanding where the priority is, the new covenant holds the priority, and we listen to Jesus. Got that? And where do you hear the words of Jesus? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thank you. And you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll come back. Don't go anywhere.
David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Then they complained to Moses against Moses and Aaron, and they said, it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking, it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh,
How quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it?
Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car!
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh, it's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly, he's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED, because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right, let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs. Whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections, I'll call John at 469-BLESSED or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered because reliability starts at the top.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Wow, that was like a frog. Texas. Ribbit. Texas. All right, I'm trying. If you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, or go to your roof and scream out, David! Probably not going to reply. Just giving you that opportunity. For those that don't know about the exciting events for today, today is National Tourism Day. National Tourism Day. First thing I thought of was when I moved to Arizona. I moved to Arizona. I was 15? So that was, 42 years ago? Moved to Arizona, and I'm driving with my mom. Mom and dad got a divorce. Mom's living in Arizona. Dad's living in Michigan. And I'm driving with my mom, and we're driving along, and then the person pulls in front of us, and there's a bumper sticker. And you know what that bumper sticker said? These are the kind of things that make impressions in your life. It says, "Welcome to Arizona." And then it said at the bottom, "Now go home." That's funny. Come on. I remember that 40 plus years later. A couple things to run by. I want to stay on this story because there's something really cool in this. We were talking about Mo, and we were talking about Elijah and how they showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's what it's called. Because why? Because Jesus, wait, get ready. He transfigured right in front of him. That's why it's called the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh. And so he becomes unbelievably bright. His face shines like the sun. His clothing dazzling like white. You got Moses. You got Elijah. What was that play on Mo again? Can you play that again?
Hey, Mo. Hey, Mo. Hey, Mo. Hey, Mo. Well, yuck, 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 yuck. What is he?
You can't, if you don't like the Three Stooges reference, that you're something's wrong with you. You take yourself way too seriously. Go to a 99-cent store, buy a pocket mirror, put it in your pocket. Every time you take yourself seriously, pull out the mirror, look at it, and then you'll understand why God has a wonderful sense of humor. He does that with everybody so you can feel special. So God's very clear. This is my beloved son whom I'm fully pleased, not partly pleased, fully pleased. Listen to him. That's powerful that it says the disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Now watch this. I want you to catch this. It's really big. Verse 7. Jesus came over and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." I think you need and I need and we all need to maybe get a handle on the moment. So you have Moses and Elijah and Jesus on the top of the mountain with Peter and James and John. Jesus's face, can I say this? Freaks out, becomes bright like the sun. His clothes are bright. They're dazzling white, not just white, more white than when you go to a professional football game and you see the white of their jersey, more white than anybody can even do in a laundry or a sewing capacity, right? A voice comes from a cloud. This is my son. So it's a, and by the way, it wasn't just a cloud like a rain cloud. It says it was a bright cloud. Ooh, it's like, wow, what is going on here, right? A voice comes out. This is my beloved son. I am fully pleased with him. Listen to him. Then power Jesus. That's what I'm calling him from this point right here. Power Jesus goes over to the disciples who fell face down on the ground, terrified. Some people say, well, that's being slain in the spirit. No, it ain't. These guys were terrified and fell on the ground. They're like, ay, 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 ay. Jesus goes over and touches them. And what's the first thing Jesus says? He says, get up. Don't be afraid. Did you know when the disciples were hiding out when Jesus resurrected and they were hunting for his followers, so to speak? Well, they either thought they were being hunted or they were being hunted, whichever the case may be. Jesus, when he came into the room, said, peace, peace unto you. Don't be afraid. Jesus tells us in all these circumstances that are wild and crazy, don't be afraid. Comes walking on the water, don't be afraid. Shows up in our life in a way we just, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So Power Jesus, just give me the moment, Power Jesus goes over and touches those guys. And from that bright, shining Power Jesus to the Jesus that they've been hanging out with for a while, he goes over and touches them. I just think that is a powerful human divine interaction moment. Jesus touches them and they're like, it's like everything is okay when God touches you. That's just how it is. Whatever you're going through, however crummy, I go through my own trials just like everybody else. I've been going through lots of warfare since Saturday. My wife could probably write a book about all the time I tell her about my warfare and all the stuff I'm going through. But whenever God touches us, it's like, it's enough. It's cool. Because there's something about a touch from God that changes everything. Verse 8 says that when they looked up, they saw only Jesus. In other words, Moses and Elijah were gone. Only Jesus. And it's the touch from Jesus that just makes it okay. Look, it, not everything is explained, which is highly irritating if you're ADD like I am. Not everything makes sense, which is highly irritating if you're ADD like I am. Not everything looks like it's on a map, which is highly irritating if you're ADD like I am. But it's okay, which is highly comforting because God comes in and touches. Here's something I want you to think about. This is a picture that just came into my mind, something that I'm reminded of. So, and Wonder Julie can help me on this if she knows. I don't know if she knows. If she doesn't, she doesn't have to say anything, but she might know. So there's this art form, this stitching, where they have a pattern and you stitch it and it has different colors and you're making like a, I don't think it's crochet, but it's like, you know, where it's needlepoint, I think is what it's called. And then needlepoint, there's like an outline of a picture with colors, and then you're supposed to put the color thread into the picture, like if it's pink, you'd put pink. If it's blue, you blue, or that kind of thing. Is that needlepoint?
I think it is.
Okay.
Tapestry.
Something like that, yeah. Right? The one thing I know is that the backside of it looks like a mess.
Yes.
Right? Like the underside of it looks like a horror movie gone awry or something. It's just like, well, that doesn't look right. So on the one side of it, you have this outline picture that makes sense. And it has color, and on the back side of it, you have threads that are different colors, different sizes, different things, and nothing looks right. That's an excellent illustration of our lives with God. He's got the tapestry, the picture in front of him. He's doing the needlepoint. It's outlined. He knows the colors. He's putting everything into place. That's how he sees it. We look at the backside from the earth and we're like going, this is messy. This doesn't even look right. All the lengths are different and the needle colors are different. It's not merging. It's not really a picture because from the back side, it doesn't look right. But from the front side, it's a perfect picture. That's, I think, sometimes why, you know, the Lord has to touch us for everything to be okay. And you think about that, how important that is to have the Lord touch you. People go, well, what are you talking about? You're talking about a physical touch, Dave? I don't know. If God touches you, he touches you. I can't, I'm not. Maybe he just comes into the room and says, hey, it's me. Maybe you open up the Word of God, and the Word of God just speaks to you, and you know, I think God just spoke to me through his Word. Maybe you go into prayer, and you get that 5 seconds worth of it's okay. Maybe you go into church, and you realize when you walk into church, yeah, there's a reason, there's a purpose for all of it. Whatever that is, whatever that moment of connection is, I don't know what it is for you. Whatever it is for you, that's God touching you and telling you. Don't be afraid. I struggle with, I get more frustrated than fearful. That's my struggle. I want God to send me a Western Union ahead of time. Then, as the plan is unfolding, I don't ask for a sign or two. I ask for 50 or 60. I'm never asking God to give me a sign to show that he's God. I don't do that. I think that's what a wicked generation does. I always ask for indications along the path so I can know I'm walking the path he set before me because I don't trust me. I trust him much more than I trust me. It's my receptor that's all messed up. So sometimes I need that reassurance and then sometimes I'm just walking in the flesh. Oh, no, as a Christian, you don't walk in the flesh. Right. All right, let's just dump Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, Galatians 2 and 3, Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Philippians 1, 2, 3, 4, Colossians 1, 2, 3, 4, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2 Thessalonians 1, 2, 3. Would you like me to go on? You know, I can. 1 Timothy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 2 Timothy 1, 2, 3, 4. Titus 1, 2, 3, Philemon 1, Hebrews 1 through 13, and James 1 through 5, and 1 Peter 1 through 5. Okay. The point being that it's me and my struggle and my problem, not God and his struggle and his problem. So sometimes we need the touch just to get through. I'm not sure it's wrong. I don't know what the scriptural reference would be to make it wrong, to ask God just to give you that sense of assurance and that touch. I don't think it's wrong. I think it's wrong to tell God how to do it. I don't think it's wrong to ask God to do it. I think it's wrong to tell him how you want to see it. I think telling God his method and timing and that he should capitulate to your idea of what that is silly or ridiculous. But I think it's okay to understand that a power Jesus will touch you. And maybe he'll just touch you by reassuring you through your spouse or your kids or your, you know, when you're sleeping at night or I don't know. But I think it's okay to say, Lord, I could use a touch. I just see nothing wrong with that. I don't think it's a lack of faith to say you want to have a little comfort. I think it's a need to be comforted, and God is a God of comfort. Right? All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am. Real estate, it's a bear out there. You don't want to list your home for too little, and you don't want to buy a home for too much. You need the just right solution. You may be wondering what your house is worth and who can give you the service you deserve. If you're looking for a partner in your home sale, a person who will treat you and your home like family, then get in touch with Pam.
There's a great deal of blood, sweat, and tears that went into your home. You should work with someone who understands and appreciates that. You should work with Pam. To call and talk to her is free. To have a consultation is free. To gain a partner in this venture is precious. Don't delay. Call Pam today. 817-505-5541 or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
This is an agent with some real common sense and zeal. She has a great attitude while also being very nice and friendly. Pamela has a great amount of experience in education, but more than that, she's just real.
Pam Melchione, 817-505-5541 or visit theblessedrealtycompany.com.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2. On God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm just going to figure out, there's going to be a point where I just go, that's how I say it for the rest of my life. I just can't do a Sean Connery here in Texas. That's where we're glad to be in Texas. I just don't, you know, it doesn't work. The Highlander does not work for Texas. You need more like the Texas Ranger, which, by the way, I heard about that run they did yesterday, the Chuck Norris run. Did you hear about that?
I saw a picture of him, but I didn't know what he was doing.
They tried to get as many people as possible to look like Chuck Norris, and then they would run a marathon. So it's the Chuck Norris marathon. It's so funny. That is so funny. People get really upset about stuff like that. It's like, that's the stuff that's the best, right? The tear looked at Chuck Norris and then cried. You know, it's just like so many great lines. Anyway, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. It's funny. Try to get over yourself there. Tomorrow, James Robinson will be on the show. For years, I wanted to call him James Robinson, but that's really from Lost in Space, so that would be wrong. His name is James Robinson. Very strong man of God, and I'm going to have the privilege of chatting with him, so he'll be on. On Thursday, we're going to have Johnny Hill return, so that's going to be fun, having Johnny back in the studio. And we're not even sure exactly what the Lord wants to do. We just feel like the Lord wants to do it. We both believe it. We're going to do it and do our best to do it. Let's get into the rest of the text for this day, because I want to try and do my best to emphasize this next part, which seems to get little teaching time, or it doesn't get a lot of teaching time from me And so I'm going to confess that and then try and do a little bit better job on it. After Jesus touched them, Jesus, verse 7, Jesus came over and touched them. Get up, he said, don't be afraid. And when they looked, they saw only Jesus with them, and they descended the mountain. And then Jesus commanded them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until I, the Son of Man, have been raised from the dead. His disciples asked, why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes? Jesus replied, Elijah is indeed coming first to set everything in order, but I tell you, he has already come, but he wasn't recognized, and he was badly mistreated. And soon the Son of Man will also suffer at their hands. Then the disciples realized he had been speaking of John the Baptist. Now, I find stuff like this fascinating. So they go through this incredible experience with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Right? And then Jesus touches them. Don't be afraid. And what happens right after they only saw Jesus? As they descend down the mountain, Jesus gives them a command. He says, don't tell anyone what I have seen until I, the Son of Man, have been raised from the dead. I got a message and people are going to hate it, but it's still true. There is a time to tell people and there is a time not to tell people. For some reason, somehow, in our minds, we think always speaking, always saying the gospel at all times, no matter what, is exactly what God had in mind. But you don't even see that in Jesus' teachings with his disciples. He teaches them to go specifically to certain people. He teaches them to talk at a specific time. Here he says, don't share this with anybody. There's no reverse psychology going on here. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. I want you to keep this until the appropriate time. There are times where the Lord will give you something, a word, a burden, something to share. But guess what? You're the steward of that, and it doesn't have to come flying out of your mouth like when somebody opens up a fire hydrant and water just goes pouring out. When they open up a fire hydrant, correct me if I'm wrong, but they usually attach a hose to it so that they can direct where the water is going so it can have the maximum effect. I think that's where we're heading here. There is a time, and there is a time not to. And that's the reality. And here's Jesus. You don't get a lot of teaching on this. Jesus is like, don't tell anybody. Wait, what? Isn't that the opposite of everything you've been saying? No. There is a right time and a wrong time. Learn to discern the difference. Don't tell anybody what you've seen until I, the Son of Man, have been raised from the dead. You think, well, that's that one instance. I think it's very clear in Jesus' life, there was a time where he spoke and a time where he was silent. And it's like, look, there is a right time. There is a time to open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit use you as a vessel and let it come flying out. Then there's this other time, it's really tough, to go, I'm not going to say anything. It's really hard. But you can do it through the Lord. And so at this point, he says, don't say anything about this until I've been raised from the dead. It's at this point that I find that one of the more interesting moments, because the disciples say, well, why do the teachers of the religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes? I know Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they're starting to get confused with what are some of the prior teachings and what they've been raised with. And it's all of a sudden in their faith, they're seeing some mixing going on. And they're thinking, well, I thought Messiah doesn't come until Elijah returns. And so now they're trying to kind of figure out some of it. And Jesus has a most fascinating reply. He says, indeed, Elijah first comes and sets everything in order. But I tell you, he already came, but he wasn't recognized. There it is. Ding, 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 ding. The Lord does a lot of work in our life. I don't think anybody who's a Christian will say that God has stopped. He might seem distant. You might be in a wilderness experience, but God hasn't stopped. He's doing whatever he's doing for whatever reason he's doing it. Even though I half the time I complain about it, I probably complain more than you all. But there's a recognition process that we often fail in. And Elijah came in the spirit and in the ministry of John the Baptist came in the spirit and the ministry of Elijah, and they didn't catch it. They missed it. And I just ask myself, because I know it's happening to me even now, I think I miss it. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe that's part of that ADD. Maybe it's part of this. But I think I miss, and I'm not recognizing some of the things that God is setting before me. And I throw another spin on it or another interpretation on it, or I want it to fit in a certain way, or it doesn't fit what I thought it should be. I don't know. What I do know is that Jesus was quite clear that they didn't recognize the forerunner of the Messiah, and I strongly believe that many people will not recognize the forerunning of the Messiah's return. Whether it happens in a perfect schematic, as a lot of people on this station will point out, or it happens differently, I don't care. You think, well, why? I just want him to come back. Whether it's right this second before I make this drive home or in 50 years, I just want him to come. That's my hope. My hope is to be with the Lord forever, not for 1,000 years, forever. Forever and ever. But I want to be able to recognize what he's doing. I want to be able to understand what he's doing. I want to be able to see and catch it. So I'm going to tell you something that you'll find amazing. I think we need to pray that we have a better awareness and a better recognition of what he's doing prior, like while we're going through the process. You know, when you get to the end of it, you go, oh, I get it, right? I think we're supposed to have a little more confidence before we get to that point. I'm just bad at it. If you're good at it, pray for me. I need to be better at it. They didn't recognize John the Baptist, very specific in the passage in 13, that he was the spirit in the ministry of Elijah, and they missed Christ. I don't want to do that. I'm sure you don't want to do that either. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're going to take a 23-hour break, then come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. We'll talk to you then.